Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. We'll be right back.
Well, after my colleague John Yule's introduction this afternoon, perhaps I should start by saying, my fellow Swing Time listeners, good afternoon. Once again, back with Swing Time for part two of our usual Tuesday afternoon excursion into the jazz, swing and blues music. Mike Coates again in the chair with selections to complete the programme today. And my thanks to John for opening up the programme as usual. Something of a marathon to my opening track, the joint tenors of Johnny Griffin and Eddie Lockjaw Davis in one of their many combination of discs that they make. That track was called Funky Fluke, and the personnel with Eddie Lockjaw Davis and Johnny Griffin on tenors was pianist Junior Mance, Larry Gales was the bass player, and Ben Riley on drums. The recording date was either the 4th or 10th of November 1960, and of course it was recorded in New York City. That came from the Jazzland album, Tough Tenors. A load of strings on the turntable now. These are to be found on one violin and two guitars. The Gershwin tune would not have required any practice from the violin player, but one of the guitarists might have had to think a bit harder than usual. We're about to hear I Got Rhythm from Stefan Grappelli and Barney Kessel. Along with those two are Nino Rossi on rhythm guitar, Michel Gaudry is the bass player, and Jean-Louis Vialli is on drums. Recorded in Paris on the 23rd or 24th of June 1969, I Got Rhythm. Stefan Grappelli with Barney Kessel. A couple of weeks ago, I said that I would include some more music from pianist Dodo Marmarosa. My selection is another Gershwin composition, and Barney Kessel has also found his way onto the record. The recording is a Hollywood airshot from the Kraft Music Hall programme, and with a little bit of magic, I've got a distinguished guest to complete the introduction for me.
Artie Shaw rose to fame as a brilliant clarinetist and as an orchestra leader of original and inventive mind when he was still a mere broth of a boy. Artie, I understand you started on a saxophone and you later switched to the clarinet, is that right?
Yeah, when I discovered that so much sound could come out of anything so thin, I was amazed. Know what I mean?
A contemporary crooner gives me the same feeling, I...
Well, you can console yourself, Bing.
Why?
It doesn't seem to hurt singers to bulge a bit.
Bulge a bit? Well, Artie, I can't help it if I run to muscle. Gee. But let's run on to that smooth arrangement of Gershwin's song, I Was Doing All Right. You and the Gramercy Five are ready there. Knock it.
And my distinguished guest was, of course, Bing Crosby. Artie Shaw's Band Within a Band is probably best remembered for its use of a harpsichord, played by Johnny Guarnieri, but the discography of this group extends far beyond the limited number of dates made where the older version of the piano was incorporated. The Gramercy Five group was used by Artie Shaw from the 3rd of September 1940 until June 1954. So you may judge that a fair number of eminent jazzmen appeared in the lineup. These included Roy Eldridge, Don Fagerquist, Jimmy Rainey, George Barnes, that's the old George Barnes, of course, Hank Jones, and Tommy Potter. Quite a few forward-thinking musicians in that bunch. And the lineup on the track that we heard, I Was Doing All Right, by Artie Shaw and his Gramercy Five, were Artie Shaw, of course, clarinet, Dodo Marmarosa, piano, Barney Kessel on guitar, Morris Rayman on bass, and Lou Fromm on drums. The recording was made in Hollywood at the Kraft Music Hall on the 15th of March 1945. A big band with a difference. The use of unusual time signatures within a jazz context occurs reasonably often, and I have certainly included them on my playlist on Swing Time from time to time. Most listeners will quite correctly associate these with the Dave Brubeck Quartet, but there are others. Don Ellis chose to make a feature of these different timings at the Monterey Jazz Festival of 1966. As he explains to us at the start of the track, this is in 7/8 time. Beat me, Daddy, 7 to the bar.
We'd like to go out kind of with something kind of happy. This is a sort of a boogie-woogie, only with a difference, because we do it in 7/8. So, for those of you that are old enough to remember, I guess you'd have to say, beat me, Daddy, 7 to the bar. In any case, we don't really have a name for this. Maybe we'll call it Beat Me, Daddy, 7 to the Bar.
Well, that certainly had them standing up in their seats at Monterey on the 18th of September 1966. Beat Me Daddy, 7 to the Bar by the Don Ellis Orchestra. The names of the group are not over familiar, well, certainly not to me. John may recognise some names more than I do, but here they go. Don Elliott, Glenn Stewart, Alan Wright, Ed Warren, Paul Lopez were the trumpet players, Dave Wells, Ron Myers, and Terry Woodson, trombones, Reuben Leon, Tom Scott, Ira Shulman, Ron Starr, and John Magruder played reeds. Dave McCary was the piano player, and Ray Neapolitan was the clarinet player. He was one of three bass players, Chuck DiManico, a name I do recognise, and Frank De La Rosa were the bass players, Steve Bohannon and Alan Estes, yes, two drummers, and Chano Valdez was the percussionist. Again, the recording was the Monterey Jazz Festival of the 18th of September 1966. You are listening to Swing Time on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Mike Coates here with selections for part two of the show. When Alfred Lion started to release records on his Blue Note label in 1939-1940, the artists were boogie-woogie piano players. In fact, there has always been a strong piano presence on the label. The first modern jazz pianist that Blue Note recorded was Thelonious Monk, with six separate dates between October 1947 and May 1952. But at that moment, Monk went on a contract with Prestige. Many Swing Time listeners will undoubtedly think of Horace Silver as a leading contender as a Blue Note fixture, as far as keyboard men are concerned, but other piano players have graced the Blue Note studios for long or short periods. An early visitor was Wynton Kelly. So, in fact, although Kelly had strong experience in studios with Eddie Lockjaw Davis and Dinah Washington and others, it was Blue Note who gave him the first opportunity to record as a leader. This was in 1951, and here is a selection from that session. We're about to hear Moonglow by the Wynton Kelly Trio, Wynton Kelly Piano, Oscar Pettiford on bass, Abrams on drums. Recorded in New York City, the 25th of July, 1951. Thank you. Another date with Blue Note for Wynton Kelly followed on the 1st of August 1951, but these were the only times Wynton Kelly cut any sides for Blue Note. Another pianist who, like Horace Silver, might be considered a house pianist for Blue Note was Sonny Clark. By the time Sonny Clark reached the Blue Note recording studios, he had considerable recording experience, especially with Buddy DeFranco and Jimmy Rainey. And it was as a Hank Mobley sideman that he encountered Blue Note for the first time. Numerous Blue Note albums with the likes of Mobley, Art Farmer, Curtis Fuller, and similar hard boppers followed. A typical example is the next track, where Sonny Clark is also the leader of the group. They play a track called Sonny's Mood. It's by the Sonny Clark Sextet and includes Art Farmer on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Hank Mobley on tenor, Sonny Clark the pianist, of course, Wilbur Ware on bass, and Lewis Hayes is the drummer. Recorded in the Valgelda Studios in Hackensack, New Jersey, on the 21st of July 1957, which the mathematicians among you will realise is 69 years ago today.
Thank you.
A good example of Sonny Clark's exciting and propelling style of piano work. That was from the Blue Note album Dial S for Sonny. Sadly, due to a combination of alcoholism and narcotics, Sonny Clark died at the age of 32. A sad loss of a fine jazz man. Alfred Lion's ability to single out fine pianists and give them the opportunity to develop their abilities carried through until Alfred retired from the business. A large number of modern pianists have been involved with Blue Note, in the label's latter years, when Alfred was still in control. Names such as Andrew Hill, Cecil Taylor, Chick Corea, McCoy Tyner found their way into the Blue Note catalogue. On the 28th of May 1962, another pianist was given a debut recording date. This was Herbie Hancock, and on that album was a tune to become a jazz standard, Watermelon Man. However, we are going to a year, just under a year later, when again Blue Note had a Hancock session. He was in the company this time of master drummer Tony Williams, along with Donald Byrd at trumpet, Gretchen Moncur III, trombone, Hank Mobley again on tenor, Herbie on piano, Chuck Israels was the bass player, and Tony Williams the drummer. The Van Gelder studio in Englewood Cliffs this time was the home of this recording on the 19th of March 1963. King Cobra. Thank you. That was from the album My Point of View. Thank you for listening today. I do hope that you enjoyed the music John and I have presented. We expect to be back next Tuesday at 1 p.m. with a further edition of Swing Time.